This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robert Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You know, it's a different kind of show than I normally do. Typically, you know, I come in here with three or four things I feel strongly about, points that I feel are you know, I can really articulate and express and support and build towards. And then we talk about that, have some reaction to those topics, right? But this is different because it's such just a big sports weekend when it comes to games. So in a way, we're sort of a extended pregame show right now. We're sort of a gambling show right now as well. So it's a different sort of style than I normally do, which means you're going to be heavily involved just talking through these games coming up, because the topic of the sports world right now is the NFL divisional playoffs. There's not one thing that's a story that is taking away from that. You know, if you go to a headline on a sports website, you could see Stephen Curry, you know, going up on the three-point list, or James Harden getting a triple-double, or Philadelphia losing to Atlanta and Ben Simmons calling the Sixers soft. A variety of other headlines. Jalen Hurts considering Maryland and in Miami. Just a bunch of headlines, but no real, like, topic. There's not a huge topic. The topic is the games today. And I think that's what the NFL has wanted for a long time, and that they're finally most of the way back toward. And that's why this show's a little bit different than normal today. 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Who do you got this weekend? Is there a team that you are certain is going to win? Is there a team you are certain is going to lose? Are you with me that the underdogs have a chance to win outright in every single one of the games? Mike in Fort Worth. Mike, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sorry to tell you, you're going to lose your money this weekend on the Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
If you remember, when was the best season for Dak? Was it his rookie season?
Yeah.
How many he gave away he had? Like three or four interceptions, maybe?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I believe Max is four. Why? Who was coaching him at the time?
What's the point? What's the point you're getting to? Just make your point.
You don't need Wade Phillips to figure out our coach, okay? Who was coaching him? Tony Romo was coaching him, okay?
And Tony Romo was the coach of the team?
No, he was coaching Dak at the time because he was injured.
No, I know what happened, but he wasn't the coach.
I'm sorry. Come again? Yeah, he wasn't the coach. But what I'm saying, he doesn't have the right coach, Dak. They keep talking about Dak mistakes and stuff. He's a great quarterback, but he doesn't have the right coach. Okay, and I'm a diehard Cowboy. When
you know his numbers this year are almost exactly the same as his rookie year numbers? Like, exactly.
Yeah, but he gave away, what, 12, 14 interceptions?
He had 8 interceptions this year.
Panics and besides the fumbles and all that.
8
and
interceptions is not a lot of interceptions if you're playing 16 games. That's not many.
One more point. They keep talking about the new receiver we got, but we lost one of the best tight ends, blocker, and a receiver.
Wait. Are you just like shilling for Cowboys who are now broadcasters? Is that?
No, I'm just telling you. I'm a Cowboy, diehard Cowboy fan. But with this coach, and now we go into the second round, we're going to be stuck with him another five, six years. But today is the end of their game today. You understand what I'm saying? They cannot. They're not going to hang with the Rams. And our running back, everybody and their mama know he runs right. That's his best numbers. That's his big plays, running right. Mm. Middle can do it. To the left, he cannot do it.
What if Tony Romo told him to run to the left? You think he could do it then?
I'm saying the only way you get your money if Tony Romo will get to the sideline and coach Dak.
Would you sign Jason Witten to play in today's game?
No, but I mean, he'd been what? He'd been off for what?
All right, I was just checking make sure.
I'm just letting you know.
All right.
The game plan. I'm sorry to tell you that, but we have no coach. You don't need Wade Phillips. A high school coach can figure out our coach. His game plan. He got no game plan. And the gentleman you had a while ago, what did he say about the other team? The coach, the last 2 minutes, will review stuff with their quarterback. Our coach don't do nothing but stand and sit there and watch the game. That's all he does.
Damn.
He doesn't review things. He doesn't warn the players about penalties, about jumping off sides, about stuff like that. You don't see that from him.
Jason Garrett, he's a paid bystander. He gets paid a lot to be a bystander. I would be an NFL coach if that was all that you had to do. Yeah, I could. Generally, I wouldn't say I could coach an NFL team. I think I could maybe coach, you know. I'm not going to say that either. I could not coach it. I think I could be in a front office of a basketball team, you know, an NBA team. I think I could learn on the job and do that. That's the one thing I think I could probably do. To a certain extent, I would never in a million years say I could coach a football team. But if all you have to do is stand there, then I could do it. I could do that. How about Jared in Dallas, Pennsylvania? Jared, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, Jared?
Oh, my gosh. These Cowboys fans are driving me crazy. But
you're talking about that last guy or other people?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's like, I mean, come on. Like, oh, they're going to win because we can run the ball right. I mean, really, like, there's more. I don't know. I live in Eagles country. I'm a Redskins fan, so I have nothing to talk about with Redskins. But
yeah.
I think the Cowboys fans at this point have overtaken the Eagles fans as the most obnoxious fans. But I just want to make a quick comment. I am so pumped. Like I said, I'm a Redskins fan, so I have no, dog in the fight. But I'm so pumped for this weekend, man. These games are so lit, and they're going to be so exciting, I think. And I can't remember another weekend that just had every team really had the opportunity to win. And I just had a quick question for you because I was kind of talking with a buddy of mine the other day. In your opinion, like, there's so many storylines. You have Brady with possibly the last hurrah. You know, he's already done many seasons left. Same with the Breeze. You know, you have the young guns and Dak and, you know, Andrew and Mahomes. And you have, you know, Andrew Luck in return from injury. The Eagles just playing lights out when it comes to the playoffs for some reason. Like, what do you think would be the best, the most exciting, the coolest Super Bowl matchup this season? There's just so many possibilities,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to kind of get your take on that. I think it would be cool to see, like, with Breeze versus San Diego, because people forget that he started his career there.
Yeah.
I think that would be a cool thing to see, but I think it would be a cool thing to see Brady play again and, you know, kind of ride off into the sunset. I'm not a Patriots fan or an AFC fan.
I don't want to see Brady again. I would go with Kansas City for one. They're the most entertaining team. Patrick Mahomes has been the story of the NFL season. Here's the way I would look at this. You know, there's things that you can look for storyline-wise, but if I'm an executive of the NFL and I want the most possible buzz, most possible coverage, everything else, I would go Kansas City-Dallas.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said, because Dallas is going to bring – you know, Dallas is going to bring the ratings. They have fans all over the country, quote-unquote America's team. You can't deny that. I mean, I live in – you know, I've been around the country. You find Dallas fans literally everywhere. And see Patrick Mahomes, you know, playing in the Super Bowl and, you know, the kind of player he is exciting. So, yeah, I just want to thank you. You know, thanks for the show. Thanks for taking my call. And, man, I'm just so pumped for this weekend. I think it's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, I think a lot of people share your excitement, Jared, and appreciate the call, man. You know, I mean, you guys don't have to thank me for getting on. Thank you for calling in, interacting, and everything like that. You know, I sometimes say this when I'm doing a show like this, but it is worth saying because it's genuine. I'm not, like, shilling or anything like that. It's super cool. It's always super cool. It will always be super cool that I can get in front of a microphone or a camera or whatever and talk, and people want to hear what I have to say and want to interact with what I'm saying, whether it's, you know, whatever medium it is. It's super cool. And you know, no medium like the radio allows that to happen. Thomas in Dallas. Thomas, you're Dallas, Pennsylvania, that is. That's like a real conflict inside when you live in Dallas, Pennsylvania. Is that close to Philadelphia? Where is that? Because I know Pennsylvania is a weird state, Thomas, where, you know, the one, like, side of Pennsylvania is totally different than the other side of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan and everything. I just wanted to say, Now, Dak Prescott last year had a terrible season, but is people going to appreciate him more if he has, like, doesn't win or wins? And I'm like, I would like to see the Dallas Cowboys be in the Super Bowl this year. And I think if we win this playoff game against the Rams, I would definitely think that the Cowboys would have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl this year. And I just want to say, will people appreciate Dak Prescott more if he wins, or are they going to appreciate him more if he doesn't win? I mean, I appreciate Dak Prescott 100%. I mean, our coaching staff is really, really good. I mean, right now, I know Tony Romo coached him as he was injured, but does that mean people are going to appreciate him more, you know?
Yeah, I think Dak is on his way. What he did last week, I think, won a lot of people over, right? You know, because in the playoffs, it's not just about your raw numbers. It's about moments. And Dak Prescott had some moments in the playoffs. And it really shouldn't be – he shouldn't be a polarizing, controversial player anymore. I think it's kind of ridiculous that he's a polarizing, controversial player. I think that's a result of him being hyped a lot his rookie year, backlash to the hype, then going too far the other way. And really what you look at with Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. He's a guy you can win with. He's a guy who's going to take care of the ball, make some timely big plays, but he's not a guy who's going to win on his own. So he settles in as a good quarterback. If he's your quarterback, he can be your quarterback for a long time, and you can be set at that position, but he's not going to be the guy that's going to win the NFL MVP. He's not going to be the guy that is putting fear in the hearts of other teams. 855-212-4227. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And I don't know if you guys needed that prompting to call. A bunch of you calling in right now. Let's ride the wave. Let's talk about the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Who do you got the most confidence in, least confidence in? Can the underdogs really pull it off in every single matchup? Daniel in Dallas. Daniel, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, man. How you doing? I feel like every year I call in to your show around playoff time to have some counseling here, because I've been burnt so many times by the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just calling in for you to give us some hope as Chiefs fans nationwide on why this year should be different at home, you know, against the Colts. History doesn't go well for us here. You
know? Well, I don't think history has anything to do with it. If I'm building the case for the Chiefs, actually the case starts with the guys. You know, Andy Reid is a strength, not a weakness, I think, in this game. I know of his playoff, you know, problems and all that, but to me, Andy Reid is scary coming off of a bye week with extra time to prepare. Patrick Mahomes is scary for anyone to prepare for. The Chiefs have been my favorite team to watch all season long. What I would be worried about is not the history. It's not Andy Reid. It's not Mahomes in his first playoff. What I'd simply be worried about is the same things you've been worried about all year. You know, the Chiefs defense. And then on the other side, the Colts legitimately looking like a really good team right now.
Yeah, I will say the matchup I'm really interested in seeing, though, is our defensive line has 52 sacks, you know, on the year. And the Colts only giving up 18 on the year. I think that'll be a really interesting matchup. And I think that's where the game gets won. If the Chiefs can get after the quarterback or get after Luck somehow, then I think they can probably win this game. But that's going to be the probably most interesting matchup to watch that whole game. So, but hey, I appreciate your show, man. You're one of my favorite people to listen to, man.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you for calling in and thanks for listening. How about Conrad in Milwaukee? Conrad, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks, Robin. So, hey, the Dallas team, I watched that game with the Saints when they just seriously they beat the Saints earlier in the year. And if that's the team that shows up and goes to L.A., I think they're going to win. That goes along with all the other underdogs. I just really believe that every underdog has, like, a serious chance to win. The miracle game is going to be that Eagles-Saints game, though, because that's the one that I just don't think – on paper, it just doesn't seem like the Saints should lose, but then there's that whole thing. And I just really got to know, you know, John Kincaid's an Eagles fan and Bill Reiter's a Bears fan. Where do you lay your loyalty? And that's all I got. You have a good day.
I don't have any. You want to stay on the line? I mean, I'm just like, people ask me that all the time. And I know guys in the studio, you can weigh in. How strange is it to you that I don't have any diehard team allegiances? And not because of the job. It's not because, like, I'm sports broadcaster, man, and therefore I must be impartial. I'm not saying I'm impartial about things. I have biases. I have favorites. But I don't have diehard allegiances to any team. I think it's a function of the way I grew up, where I lived in a different place a third of my life. You know, I lived outside of Philadelphia for a third of my life, and I rooted for the Philadelphia area teams at that point, enough where it mattered, but it wasn't stuck in my soul. And my dad was never like crazy rah-rah guy about any teams either, so it didn't stick in my soul. And then I moved from Philadelphia area to Southern Maryland, where it's not really actually that close to D.C. No one's ever heard of it, but they root for the D.C. area teams. So you go from like one NFC East team to another NFC East team. And then I moved to New York City straight out of college and have lived in the New York area since then. So there just never was any team that stuck with me. And I know that makes people feel strange about my, you know, sports fandom. But, you know, there are certain players I'll root for. Again, I'll root for who I bet for. But I don't have diehard allegiances. How weird does that make me in the eyes of sports fans?
I mean, I don't think it's weird. It's just not that common. You know what I mean? It's not weird. It's just you don't hear that a lot.
You know, I actually, and I'm not casting any judgment. Like, do what you want to do. There's no wrong way to root for teams. I always say there's no, but to me, the other way is actually a little bit more weird. Like, especially when, like, you root for a team that, like, just is god-awful and disrespects you as a fan for years and
like
years and years. Or your owner is a horrible person. Like, the owner of the team is a horrible person and you're still rooting for the team. Like, that doesn't jive. I could never root for a team if I hated the owner of said team. I just couldn't do it.
It's sort of like a family member. Like, yeah, you have those family members that, like, you're like, oh, my God, them. But they're still family members, you know. They're still family.
Yeah, not if I hate them. Okay. No, they're not to me. Right. Like, if you ain't doing nothing for my life and have no there's no reason for me. Like, look, if I love you and I, you're good to me and I'm good to you, I'll be loyal to the death. But I'm not going to do it just because you got a name. Same thing with the team. Like, why is a team like a family member, by the way? Like, why is some sort of, like, just because when you were a kid you liked the color or because you grew up a certain way? I don't know. Again, I'm not saying the way anybody does it is wrong. If I were to think it was wrong to have fandom, my entire occupation may not exist, right? So I'm not saying that. It's just, for me, it's always been weird to keep supporting a team through terrible years or terrible ownership. How about Brad in Dallas? Brad, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about that Dallas Rams game. You had a guy on earlier talking about how Dallas didn't stand a chance. That Rams defensive line doesn't stop the run very well up the middle, so look for Elliott to have a huge day. 180, 200 yards rushing. That Rams defense can't stop it.
I wouldn't be shocked. I am getting more and more on the Cowboys as the show has advanced. And as I've, you know, I know some of this interaction has been from Dallas because the Cowboys are going to be rooted for there, of course, and therefore take it with a grain of salt. But I think a lot of the logic behind it has been sound. How about Jason in Louisiana? Jason, you're up next on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Jason?
You know, I'm not buying this whole Dallas thing.
Okay.
My grandfather's a huge Dallas fan, so I grew up watching Dallas. The only reason why I'm a Saints fan was because my first NFL game was a Saints game, and I fell in love. But the last couple years, since 1996, actually, Dallas hasn't had a good playoff run. They've had three wins in the last couple years, so I thought that their inconsistency to win the big games in the playoffs kind of, you know, hurt them. I'm not going to discredit them for winning because they're good enough to make the playoffs. But let's be honest here. Before the Smith injury, Washington was the favorite. And, you know, when they beat the Saints, they were the better team, you know, but their game against the Colts, they got completely shut out. So they're hit and miss. And honestly, I kind of, I like Ezekiel Elliott as a running back, but I've always thought that Dak Prescott, you know, kind of takes the spotlight off of him. So it's kind of, you know, if Dak's going to have a good game or if Zeke's going to have a good game, but I just think their inconsistency to win the last couple of years in the playoffs kind of hurts them, which is why I can't take them serious.
Well, look, they're a different team to me with Amari Cooper. I was, by the way, I was for that trade when it went down. I was not one of these people, the majority of people, I think, who were like clowning that trade. I always thought that trade was a good idea. Amari Cooper had too many big NFL performances for me to not believe he had talent, and he was still too young for me not to believe that that couldn't be tapped into. And Dallas has done that, and it's changed the dynamics of their team. They went from an inept offense that was totally reliant on the running game to a solid offense. You know, Dallas is not, again, their one thing they're lacking is explosiveness. They're not explosive. They're not going to light you up. But now they have a threat deep. They have a threat in the passing game, and they have that running threat, and they have a quarterback who can take off and run if need be as well. And that's made their offense more multifaceted. I wouldn't exactly say it's made it dangerous, but it's made it respectable. And when you have respectability across all the position groups, you have a chance to win. And that's what Dallas is. They're a good team, top to bottom. Defense, offense, they're good. They're not spectacular in any facet, but you don't necessarily have to be. People always say defense wins championships. The truth is good teams win championships. The team that is the best all around because of, you know, they're balanced and or they're elite at one thing and very good at another thing. You know, that's how you wind up winning. And as long as Dallas doesn't fall behind big time, then I definitely give them a shot against pretty much anybody that they're going to play. If they get behind, they're going to lose. But if they're in the game, in the mix, then I think they got a shot.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of you have a lot to say about the NFL playoffs this weekend, especially people from Dallas. I wonder why so many Dallas fans are interested this weekend. What could it be? You know, I don't blame them. You know, when you're so many Cowboys fans are probably like, you have the fair weather Cowboys fans, but a lot of diehard Cowboys fans. And the Cowboys are always relevant, but they haven't been that successful as of late. You know, I remember those Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin teams when I was a kid. And because of those teams and how good they were, it makes me think that the Cowboys have been better than they have been, but they really haven't been since those teams. So this is your chance in the sun, right? You know, it's the music's playing, your song is on, you're going to dance. Let's go to Sean in Dallas. Sean, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up with it, Rob?
What's good, Sean?
Hey, man, I'm in the Triple D. Yes, I'm a Cowboy fan, die hard.
Yeah.
And I just want to say this, I agree with you 100%. I keep up with the Cowboys, so I look at it like this. When they released Dez Bryant and they asked Dak Prescott to use the wide receiver he had, they found out right then and there he wasn't a great quarterback who they thought he was going to be. He's not no pocket quarterback. So when they trade for Amari Cooper, they look at it like, yeah, we need him. We need a wide receiver. We need elite. They made a mistake by releasing Dez Bryant. So now I think they rolling because now they know who they are. They know what kind of team they are. They know they got to rely on the defense, and they got to rely on the running game, and it's a throw. It's a defense, running game, throw. That's the only way we're going to win this game against the Rams. We got to run it through. We got to run it down their throat, and we got to have a good defense, and we got to get to the quarterback. That's the only way we're going to get it.
Do you think they're going to be able to do it?
I think we are. I think we could do it if we stick with our game plan. I think we'll do it if we stick with the defense and don't try to do too much with Dak Prescott. We know he's a good quarterback. I ain't saying that he ain't no good quarterback, but he ain't elite yet. He ain't no Aaron Rodgers. He ain't no Drew Brees. He Dak Prescott. You know, so you got to let him do what he do to win a game, not to lose it.
Well, I mean, I think, again, Dak's not the guy who's going to put fear in your heart, but he's a good solid quarterback. I mean, that's basically what it is there with him. And sometimes I think we have difficulty in sports analysis when it's not extremes, right? People always want it to be extremes. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's in the middle there, and that's where Dak Prescott lands. Like, you know, Dak Prescott is never going to be the guy who we're talking about as an all-time great quarterback. He's not, period. No matter what the Cowboys go on and accomplish. But he could be an all-time favorite in the hearts of Cowboys fans because he could be the quarterback of some good teams who makes plays in big moments and takes care of the ball. I mean, that happens too. Keith in Dallas. Keith, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, sir?
What's up, Keith?
Hey, I want to talk about, like, for the last years, every team that made it, and we're talking about Dallas. I'm from Dallas. We have the team, you know what I mean? My biggest thing is what I want to see more if our defense turnover and our special teams, especially punt return, set us up in good field position instead of having to do 14-play drives, 80-some yards. If we can get that from here for the rest of the playoffs, we the dangerous team in there, especially with Tavon, how do you pronounce his name, Austin coming back. If our special team and our defense can cause turnovers and special team can actually help us out in yardage, we're the most dangerous team in the league right now.
The most dangerous team in the league. I mean, there's not that many teams left, so I guess it's not that crazy a statement. It's hard to discount, you know. I'm sure a Philadelphia fan could easily say we're the most dangerous team in the league right now, too. They won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles at quarterback last year. I think, you know, Kansas City fans could say they're the most dangerous team in the league based on what they did all year. I mean, there's a lot of teams that have that case. But overall, I don't disagree with you. I mean, we've taken talked a lot about the Cowboys. Actually, more of a percentage of this show has been about the Cowboys than I expected. And I guess I should have expected it, given that the Cowboys are back in the mix, given that they won, their fan base is going to be hype, and their fan base extends beyond the local provinces, right? I mean, there are a few teams that are national teams, and Dallas is one of them. The Yankees, the Lakers, the Cowboys, you know, there are a few national teams. Dallas is one of them, where a lot of these other teams get interesting because of a player or something like that. The Cowboys, it doesn't matter who's on the roster. A lot of people care about them. Chris in Arlington, Dallas, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hello, my name is Chris. I'm calling from Arlington. I think the Cowboys can win tonight, and I think that Prescott can outdo Jared Goff, and I think Gurley's going to struggle big time tonight.
Gurley struggling, that is... You know, that's the thing, is to me, the key to the game, period, is Goff. That's what I want to know. Can Goff beat a team? Ultimately, that's where I believe in the Rams or I don't. And as of yet, I'm not convinced on Jared Goff. I'm not convinced that he's not more of a product of what McVay has done and what the Rams have done than a reason. Is he a product or a reason? And we're going to find out. Soon. I mean, he's still young in his career. He can still get better. And I don't want to totally write him off if he lays an egg. But I haven't watched him outside of that game against the Chiefs, where he played great in that game. There's not another time I've watched Jared Goff and been wowed by him. And the Rams have put up a lot of points at various times. I haven't watched Jared Goff and been wowed by him. So that to me is very interesting to see how that's going to turn out. How about Tyler in Dallas? Tyler, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. I must be clear in Dallas. What's going on, Tyler?
Hey, Robin, thanks for having me. Yeah, you know, as you said, you know, we haven't been here a whole lot until here of late the last few years, but I'll get to my point. So, you know, I think this is probably the better of the two matchups. You know, we beat New Orleans earlier in the year, but it's a different ball game going into New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
So going out to L.A. where there's a lot of Cowboys fans, I think it'll be a healthy mix for us out there. It'd be more like going to a bowl game, right, in college, as far as the fan base and the crowd noise. But I think the big difference is going to be the Rams' offense has not been the same since they lost Cooper Kupp. You know, they haven't been as productive in the passing game because having that middle of the field threat that's going to run him, you know, behind the linebackers and between the safeties. And, you know, our defense has been pretty stout against the run. We shut down the number one rushing offense last week in Seattle. So, you know, I see this being a close game. I see it being like a 24-21 game And it could really go either way just because, you know, you are playing the Rams, but I still like to favor the Cowboys. What are your thoughts?
We've been talking about it all show, and I do like Dallas in this game. I mean, my picks coming up at the top of the hour are going to be a little anticlimactic for anyone who's been listening since the beginning of the show, because I've probably made my thoughts clear on most of these games. But since that Chiefs game, Jared Goff has not played that well. The Rams have not looked like quite the same team. Dallas, since the Amari Cooper trade, you know, it goes full circle to what I was talking about with the underdogs. Sometimes the teams that are underdogs at this point in time are lucky to be there, or they had one good week, you know, in the wild card game. And they you know, what was that year? There was a team that was under 500. I forget what team that was, and they actually, was it Seattle? Yeah, and they were under 500. They wound up winning a playoff game and getting to the next week. It's like a stay of execution, right? But I don't think that's the case with any of these teams. I think all of these teams have hit their peak at the right time. Philly certainly hit their peak at the right time, right? With Foles. You cannot argue against that. Dallas has hit their peak at the right time since the Amari Cooper trade. They're clearly a different team than they were early in the year. I don't know if the Chargers have hit their peak. I wouldn't say the Chargers have hit their peak, but they're an outlier as far as being a team that's the underdog in this situation, because by record, they would be hosting a game. And the Colts have hit their peak at the right time. So three out of the four teams have hit their peak at the right time. And the other one was just good all year. Let's go to Walker in Dallas. Walker, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hi there. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been a diehard Cowboys fan my whole life, but I know you've been getting questions about him all day, so I didn't want to ask you about that. I actually had a question about Tom Brady. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, this is his last hurrah, this is going to be it. I don't see that happening. I hate seeing him in the playoffs every year, but he finds a way to get in every year. Do you think this is the last chance he has in the playoffs?
No. Until proven otherwise, I mean, it's not like New England struggled to get there. This is the year that we're all talking about the Patriots. Oh, the Patriots are awful. The Patriots stink. They got no chance. What's their record? You know, they had a bye. You know, so no, I'm not going to sit here and say it's his last chance. No. You know, eventually it's going to get there. And I think we are watching. I think we're in the midst of seeing his decline. But again, we really struggle when it's not extremes, right, Walker, where we may be watching Tom Brady's decline, but when you're declining from such a high place, his decline may still leave him at good before he gets too bad. And with everything else around him there, there certainly could be back again next year. I mean, the window is closing. There's no doubt about that, but I wouldn't say it's closed.
All right, thanks, man. Love the show.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. How about Chris in Dallas? Chris, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, yeah, I wanted to first off say good morning. Good morning, Cowboys Nation. Let's go. Let's finish this fight. Let's get this dub. But I really wanted to address one of the fan calls you had that was talking about Zeke and about Dak, and he hasn't been coached by Tony Romo, so we can't win this game. But then he claims he's a diehard Cowboys fan. Well, if Zeke can only run to the right and people can't stop him, then who cares? Let him run to the right. If they can't stop him, we'll continue to run to the right. That's why he's the leading rusher. Dak Prescott, he's a natural winner. The dude brings the teamwork. He's a leader. Give him a chance, man. I really want to say, and as a Cowboys fan, these Cowboys fans are coming to the games like today saying we're going to lose because of this. Man, just pick a different team, please.
Yeah, you
anyhow. Good morning. Let's go get this W, Cowboys Nation. Let's get this win.
How upset are you going to be if they don't win?
You know, I'm not going to be upset because I'm proud of my team. But for fans like this guy that called in on them, he needs that win. He needs that win so he can continue being a so-called Cowboys fan to him. I'm proud of how this.
Looks like you're breaking up the other Cowboys fan. His bad juju got in the way or whatever. Look, I think, you know, with all these teams, none of them are perfect. There's not a dominant team. I don't think you're looking at a year where I don't think you'll ever maybe looking at a year where you have a just dominant team. But there are cases to be made for all of them. And the case for the Cowboys has been plainly laid out on this show so far. But I understand the excitement coming from Dallas Cowboys fans. I really do. Like you it's like you've been waiting. You've been waiting, you've been waiting, you've been waiting, and the door finally opened, and you ran through. It's almost like the what happened at the stadium last week. Did you see that? They opened the doors, and all these Cowboys fans ran in, and you do wonder, what are you doing? You got assigned seats. Are you that excited to go to section 401, row G, seat 16? I mean, is that is that like you need to get there first? I don't know. But it's a good metaphor for the excitement that Cowboys fans must feel because their playoff success has been fleeting. Their playoff appearances have been fleeting. And all of a sudden, you could really talk yourself into this being the year for them, where they get on a run, where it all happened at the right time. You know, and you know, sometimes you start writing the stories before they're done, and you look back, okay, so when we're talking about this championship season, it's going to be amazing when we go back to the beginning of the year and everyone's calling for Jason Garrett to be fired and everybody's saying that Dak Prescott maybe isn't the answer at quarterback. And then we've got the Amari Cooper trade and, you know, everybody criticizing the Amari Cooper trade and saying it was a foolish, stupid trade. It's going to be so amazing. You know, like you're writing that script in your head right now. I know you are. I get it. And with every champion, there is that script. You go back with every champion, you find the version of that for you. And I understand that the Cowboys fans are talking themselves into that right now. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. I'll continue to take your calls. But coming up next, I'll make my official NFL picks for the weekend. I've sort of danced around it, talked around it, talked through it. I guess it's time to actually make them. I don't think I did very well last week. I've been doing very well.
One and three last week.
Yeah. So I did. He was quick. You notice how fast he was on that one? Usually, like, sometimes he'll even like tell me like in my ear. He was on the air right there. Like 1-3 last week. You were, buddy. You bum. You know, it's still I'm well over 500 for the season. So you know, I'll have a bounce back week this week. Hopefully, if not, who cares? As long as I finish over 500. I can't be embarrassed. That's my motto. Maybe some of you guys will think otherwise. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.